Hey, what's up? It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk. Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Excited for today's show, man. Really excited.
You should be, because you've done a lot of work, and this is going to be an awesome... It's going to be awesome to visit. We'll explain here in a second, but we've got a big game coming. It's exhibition. I understand that, but imagine just thinking... Like, I tried to fool myself when Illinois played UCLA a few years ago in the bowl game, thinking it was the Rose Bowl. You know, I fooled myself to get excited. So if I just start thinking to myself, this is a real game Sunday, and you got the number one team in the country coming to town. How fun would that be? When's the last time that happened? Was Purdue number one?
I'm not sure.
I'm not
Maybe
either.
Maybe Kyle can effort that the last time a top-ranked squad was here. Him and I were discussing off the air yesterday.
Wake Forest, baby.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one that definitely comes to mind.
Well, Indiana, Griffey, right?
Yep.
Beating Indiana.
Yeah. Non-conference-wise, Illinois, of course, is going to have a marquee non-conference game against a top-10 opponent here in a few weeks against Marquette.
But Sold out.
It's been a while outside of the Arizona game. When Arizona 2 years ago came here on that return trip when you had the home-and-home.
Yes.
And that was a decently ranked Wildcats team. I think they were probably top 15 at the time and played out to be, I believe, a one seed that year, if not a two seed.
They were good.
I think they were a one.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that was a really good squad there for Tommy Lloyd in Arizona. But, yeah, I'm with you. It would add just obviously another level if this game counted. But I hope that it feels like a game that counts.
Right.
For the most part. And talking to Luke Goody, as we did earlier this week, and he said flat out, I mean, we want to win this game. Make no mistake about it. Caught up with Terrence Shannon Jr. today over at Ubbin, and I asked him, you know, what do you think about seeing Hunter Dickinson again? And he's like, yeah, I want to beat him again.
I saw that. I love
it. Or he said, I plan on beating him again. So I thought that was pretty cool. And obviously the buzz in State Farm Center is going to be there, because Kansas is going to be a team that a lot of people around here dislike.
Amen.
And while we can talk more about this, I think Bill Self should get a warm welcome.
I do too.
Hunter Dickinson won't.
No.
And then once the game starts, Illinois will be very much having a backing of a crowd that wants to beat the Jayhawks really badly.
Yeah, and if I think, if I'm a player, you know, you can tell them all day that it's an exhibition, but as soon as the ball's tipped, I mean, it's just another game to them. And, you know, how many times did you go out and, you know, in public and just play against your buddies? You want to win those games, right? Those pickup games. So I'm sure that they understand that this thing is an exhibition, but yet when that ball is tipped, you know they're wanting to put on a show. And, of course, they don't want to be embarrassed by Kansas. Kansas doesn't want to be embarrassed by Illinois, however way it works, right? And I know from one of your articles, Bill Self had quoted, I think, at the Big 12 Media Day about, you know, they're going to be able to show us things that we're not used to when we're practicing against ourselves. So they're going to put us in positions. And what I like about this is such a veteran and experienced Illinois team that I think they will put Kansas into some positions that Kansas doesn't want to be in. I mean, I think this is a heady, experienced Illinois squad that they're not going to go into this going, oh my, we're a little bit worried because Kansas is ranked number one. No, we're at home. This is going to be close to a sellout, if not, and we're going to go out there and perform. And I can't wait to see it. Big Ten Network, I think, right?
Big Ten Network,
5 p.m.
If you're
not going, yeah.
I hope this is as close to possible as a sellout. I know that people have complained about some of the ticket prices, at least initially. I think it was $75 for the cheapest one.
And I get it. There's still $40 tickets left.
There are $40. I would expect most people, and I would say, yes, it doesn't count. $40 to me seems like an adequate price to see the number one ranked team, to see Bill Self's return. I know everybody's got to make their own financial decisions.
Well, right.
But I personally, if I wasn't wearing a press pass around my neck over there on Sunday, I would definitely be buying tickets and getting in the crowd somewhere.
Well, and think of it this way. If you're not a season ticket holder, or if you're not going to any games anyway, then you just figure, like, this is the one expense you're going to have this year for Illinois basketball. And, oh, by the way, Bill Self's in town. Oh, by the way, it's Kansas, who we can't stand. And, oh, by the way, they're ranked number one in the country. So this is a chance to say you've gone to see a number one ranked team in the country. And plus see your guys, right? I mean, it'll be a chance to maybe for a lot of people be the first look at Marcus Damask, the first look at Justin Harmon, a lot of these guys that we haven't seen play. And especially in orange and blue, I mean, obviously I've seen DeMast play a lot at SIU, but I haven't seen him yet in an Illini uniform. So to me, that'll be fun. Luke Goody, how does he look now with a healthy season in front of him? Ty Rogers is a different guy now. You know, you still got Coleman and Terrence Shannon. Oh, by the way, two guys that are projected to probably be picks in the NBA draft. So there's a lot of reason, despite who's coming to town, to go watch this Illinois team. And if it's your one... If it's your one cash a year, you know, then maybe that's the way you look at it and say, you know what, Lon's right. Let's put some money down and go see this baby.
Yeah, and how many more opportunities are you going to have to boo Hunter Dickinson? This might be your last chance.
And if everybody would have cooperated and I would have won that $1 billion lottery, I would have just bought everybody tickets. But see, it didn't cooperate then. Yeah, I mean, a chance to boo. Man, we can't let Hunter walk away. I think more than anything. Like, I don't know which one. Like, I'm not a guy that dislikes Bill Self. I like Bill. I hate that he left. I mean, I absolutely hate that because I understand, I think, what could have happened, right? I think we all do and understood what could have happened here on the campus of the University of Illinois with this basketball program with Bill Self running the show. But, you know, you can't blame a guy for going to a really good job, right? And plus, he was from that area, essentially, yeah. So kind of going home for him. But Hunter Dickinson, man, you can't let him. You're undefeated against that dude.
You are.
You need, you know, it's kind of like that, how we think about Brian Cardinal. Like, we respect the hell out of Brian Cardinal, and he's one of us, right? He grew up in Tolono, and Rod was a great guy, but we never beat him. And that's something that'll never change. The rest of your life, that'll never change. So we want that hanging over Hunter Dickinson when he's 62 years old, hanging out at the beach in retirement going, you know, one thing I never did is beat Illinois. you're darn right you didn't.
I remember playing it on our show, and I don't know how many people went out of their way to watch and consume Hunter Dickinson and Jordan Bohannon's podcast last year, but I remember seeing a clip of it on Twitter and just the defeated look on Hunter's face when he was asked about the rivalry between Illinois and Michigan, and he said, I'll give him credit for giving the honesty to it and yes, setting aside the ego. He was like, we can't call it a rivalry because we haven't beat them. And you could see how much that pained him to say, knowing that, you know, him and especially the Illini fan base have had their friction on social media and whatnot. And yes, he's going to say, all right, this is the best squad I've been a part of, most likely, and my best chance to come here and beat Illinois. And while it won't count in the record book, I'm sure Hunter will use that as an opportunity for him to say, okay, I at least beat him once, but Illinois, of course, could trump it and say, hey, yeah, even in an exhibition game when you had Bill Self at
the
helm,
we gave you everything you could have.
You couldn't get it done there either. So
we even gave you, like, you didn't have to have Juwan Howard as your coach.
Yeah, right.
And we still beat you.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that Hunter said in one of those tweets, though, that really resonates, and I don't know if people really think about it like that, but when he said, you know, Illinois, they act like they're some big-time program. You know what's funny about that? We talk about how close they've been in 89 and 05. Really, that's how close it is. That's the thing that would put everything to bed. If you would have won it in 89 or if you would have won it in 05, especially 05 since it's closer to today, obviously, then that takes away that notion that another team can say, well, they think they're big-time, but they've never won it. Or he didn't say that, but he's just said that. You know, that's the reason why you get that close and you want to just make it happen, right?
I know.
Just to validate that, yes, we are one of the best programs in the country. Are we? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is, what, 16th winningest program, I think, in school in the NCAA, et cetera. You can go on and on. A team that usually is in the top 25, now 4 years in a row with that. But it's like, we just have never gone to that next step of winning a title, and I think that would really validate it for everyone. So when Hunter said that, I read that tweet, and I was like, like, I hated reading it, but I was kind of like, well.
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, for the newer age recruits and players, they don't see the same type of appeal that the Illinois program has had historically, and, of course, that's what left a lot. And added to the sour taste, I think, for Illini fans is, you know, if Bruce Weber would have taken the reins and beyond 2005 turned this into a powerhouse program, I think maybe it would have been easier along the way to forgive Bill Self and be like, you know what, Bill, we loved you and we wanted you to stay here and we know that you would have brought great players, but we turned out just fine. We can almost say, all right, you know, you did your thing, we did ours, you were part of building this thing up. But because Illinois fell off, they then didn't have they had even more of a reason to feel jilted.
No, there's no
by
doubt.
Bill leaving. So, yeah, I know Illinois wants to and is in the process of establishing back that they're one of the top programs in the country. There are other there are more steps to take. Don't get me wrong. But Brad has gotten you to a point of being consistently nationally ranked.
And, great point.
A contender in the top of the Big Ten. So this is going to be really fun. You mentioned, and full disclosure, so let's get to the agenda for today's show. So coming up here in a few moments, we're going to play a interview that I did earlier today. I caught up with former Illini assistant, current Kansas basketball assistant Norm Roberts.
Sweet.
Who was here for the three seasons that Bill Self was in Champaign. And that, in my opinion, was a really good interview. We'll see what you guys think. But I'm excited for some of the stories that he told in there about recruiting D. Brown and recruiting James Augustine and piecing together those guys that made up the nucleus of 04-05, but also reliving that first season where I'll admit, and we talked about this a little bit during the interview, it's easy to say, okay, Illinois' opportunities through the years. Of course, 04-05, 1989 with the Flying Illini. But that 01 team, 2001, they didn't get to the Final Four, so maybe it doesn't get pointed to as much. But to lose in the Elite Eight to an Arizona team that you split with during the regular season, I know you covered that team. You loved that team.
Loved it.
That team could have won a title.
No, there's no doubt.
And when you look at Arizona's path beyond that game, they played Michigan State in the Final Four. Illinois had beaten Michigan State in their one matchup during the season. That was a good Michigan State team. They had Jason Richardson. They had Zach Randolph.
Oh, my.
But you get past that game, and Arizona lost to Duke in the title game. Illinois played Duke at the United Center, I believe, earlier that season and lost 78-77.
That's right.
And that was one of the better Duke teams I can remember. Jay Williams, yes. Carlos Boozer. I think it was Shane Battier, Mike Dunleavy Jr. Like, that was a loaded Duke team. Illinois was pretty much, you know, they weren't outclassed by Arizona. They weren't outclassed by Duke that year. They could have very well been the team that got over the hump that season, of course. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Arizona. That was a great Arizona
There's
team,
no doubt.
But the 56-58 free throws was a big deal as well.
Yeah, it's a joke. It's part of the reason that there's still a house in Sullivan that has damage to a wall because of that. So unless the new homeowner fixed that, maybe they did, maybe not. If not, I should go down and autograph it. So here, this was the night. Yeah, I mean, that team was as good as anybody in the country. And they had veterans, they had strengths everywhere. They could shoot, they could rebound, they controlled the ball. They played great defense. I mean,
a ton of front court depth.
And so that team could fit match with anybody. And when you have the shooting of guys like Corey Bradford and such, and you know, it was just a well put together assembled team. And for them to then lose a tough one in Arizona, and it stink when like the officials are kind of part of the story. We, you know, 89, I don't feel that was the case, although some people feel like Nick Anderson got shoved in the back, you know, by Sean Higgins. But regardless, you know, you've got the 04-05 team with all the fouls on James Augustine. Then you get the 01 team with Arizona, and you've got all those fouls. So this isn't just woe is me. There's actual evidence there of, like, James Augustine never fouled out of a game. And all of us, I mean, he probably did a couple of times, but all of a sudden he's in foul trouble the entire game. And then that team, while rugged, that 01 team, they never had that many fouls. There were six guys fouled out in that game. And then you even go back to 04 when a lot of people think Illinois got the job because they had to play at Kentucky. And that 84 team was a team that could have easily been a Final Four or national championship team. And Dickie Beal traveled essentially down the stretch. No call there at Rupp. It's just amazing all the – I know you can always probably take your losses and tell why, but like – if I attribute it, as I see the Steelers, to the Steelers beating my Cardinals in the Super Bowl, that was just a great play. Ben Roethlisberger made an unbelievable play. San Antonio Holmes made a great catch. There wasn't any officiating issues in that one. But it seems like when you look back on some of these great Illinois teams, the way they finished, it's always got to be something. And that's what's irritating is all get out. So just beat Hunter and just know that. You know, then you see him one day, you know, on vacation and just buy him a drink and be like, dude, I'm sorry we beat you every time, so here's your free drink.
I think down the road, yeah. That's,
Muhammad, listen, Arizona's still shooting free throws. Yeah.
I think down the road we'll appreciate the villain role that Hunter Dickinson played.
Oh, I do. Oh,
I think
no
if
doubt.
Not now, I think for the intrigue and the hype around the game, and
he's
like that,
good.
That's and he's a really good player. I mean, he scored 31 points, 16 rebounds against Illinois last year in double overtime. So, and now he gets the Bill Self high load that he's going to play in, and a really good point guard, Dewan Harris, and Kevin McCullough on the wing, and a Naismith Hall of Fame head coach and Bill Self. So, going to be really interesting to see what they do this season. So we got
real quick on that. Has there ever been a better portal fit than Hunter Dickinson at Kansas?
Probably not.
With that high low. Yeah, keep going. So we got Norm Roberts.
Roberts,
wait to hear this.
3:30.
You talked to him earlier.
It's a long interview, and I could have went another 30 minutes. So we're going to get to that here in a little bit. And then at 4:05, Chester Frazier, current Illini assistant, who has battled Bill Self a lot through the years when he was an assistant, of course, with Bruce Weber at Kansas State. And look forward to catching up with him about this game and just how the team looks at this stage in the preseason and with the opener not that far away.
Will he tell me what he said to Eric Gordon when he bumped him?
You can ask him.
I got to, right? We didn't ask him that the last time we had him on. I got to ask him, like, when you did the bump on Eric, did you say anything or was it just did the bump speak for itself?
Obviously, it didn't hurt Eric enough because Eric's still playing. He played for the Suns last night and was a running mate for KD against the Lakers. But
banked in a three that game.
Yeah.
Remember?
To send it to overtime.
But
Chester really
we're not cursed.
Endeared himself to
Yes, he did.
Not that he didn't have other reasons because he was a great leader and a well-liked, gritty, tough player. But
love
that was a moment that people obviously loved. I want to circle back, though, on the note of that 2001 team. It was brought to my attention that maybe another reason to be in the building – and look, I'm not selling tickets here. I'm not profiting from this at all, but former players are going to come.
Oh, sweet.
And I saw a list of Lucas Johnson, Luther Head, Sean Harrington, among others, are expected to be back to support, obviously, Illinois, but also to see their former head coach and Bill Self on Sunday. So that part of it will be really cool, too.
Yeah, that'll be fun. And then Brad Underwood spoke. So
he did.
We're going to hear from him as well. So you talk about having you covered on the Kansas side. We have you covered so much we had to cancel a Kansas guy, Matt Tate, who had joined us for the football game. Matt was going to join us today, but we are booked up. He totally understood. He just said, no worries, guys. We'll do it again. Maybe we'll have him on next week, maybe to touch base on the game and talk a little bit about Kansas as well. But
sounds good.
I'm excited, man. Bill Self, I mean, we're all wondering, right, what it's going to be like.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana.
That's the system basically telling me to shut up because we got to catch a break and get to Norm Roberts.
It's got a man. I see in Red Bull, it says manual, but that was automatic.
Well, I need to shut up because I'm ready to listen to Norm Roberts.
Yeah, we need to get to that.
Let's go.
Let's fire that commercial back up, and then we'll get you Norm Roberts on the other side of this break. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. This is The Drive.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Amazing selection, price, and style. On hardwoods, laminates, carpet, and tile. Low prices on high fashion. Step up the flooring that gets a wow reaction. See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
Flooring Surfaces now offers beautiful window fashions. Our interior design team will custom fit shade, shutters, and blinds to any size opening. Visit the showroom to see the latest fashions from Graber and Hunter Douglas, or request an in-home consultation. Whether it's floors or windows, Flooring Surfaces has you covered. See us today at 401 Mercury Drive in Champaign.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
Jay Layman here, former U of I All-American linebacker. Do you like steak? Do you like red meat? Well, if you do, you got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. They had phenomenal steaks, sides, salads. I love the onion rings and the fried mushrooms as well as the fried pickles. You've got to check out Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Gifford. That's right. Make the trip to Gifford for some of the best steaks you'll have. Kids love it too. I brought my whole family. I'll see you at Long Branch Steakhouse in downtown Gifford.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, the Brian Hansen State Farm Agency right here in Champaign-Urbana can switch you over and you can start saving today. Our team is ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With the Brian Hansen State Farm Agency, it's easy to switch and save. Just give our team a call at 217-344-1900 when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Stevie J Broadcasting is proud to be a part of the Disability Resource Expo coming to Marketplace Mall from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, October 28th. Up to 100 exhibitors will share information and answer questions regarding resources available to enhance the lives of people with disabilities and seek advice in reaching out for answers. The expo is free and open to the public. Visit disabilityresourceexpo.org.
Get the roof your home deserves by Roof Doctors, your residential roofing specialist that has always offered the best warranties in the industry, like our non-prorated 50-year warranty. Our customers love that we are family-owned and locally operated. We make our customer needs our top priority. With over 30 years experience and the best customer service, give Roof Doctors a call today for your free estimate at 328-7529. In your community and for your community, Roof Doctors.
Did you know the Anita Purvis Nature Center is a home for live animals? Stop by the Nature Center. View the turtles, owls, snakes, and salamanders. These were orphaned or injured animals who wouldn't be able to survive in the wild, but they help educate the public at the Nature Center. Sponsor an educational animal for as little as $15 a month. And make sure that animal has good food, housing, and medical care. For details, visit urbanaparks.org.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Back in the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Cannot wait for Sunday, Illinois versus Kansas, of course, for a great cause in the Maui Strong Relief exhibition game at the State Farm Center. And we're going to bring in a former Illini, current Kansas Jayhawks men's basketball assistant, Norm Roberts, on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Norm, thanks a lot for taking the time. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. It's a great time of year. You want to see where your team's at and to have them play against somebody else. And for this cause, it's such a worthy cause to help so many people. It's awesome.
Absolutely. And you were here, obviously, with Bill. You've kind of been his right-hand man through many, many years when you were at Oral Roberts in Tulsa, Illinois. Of course, you go to Kansas with him as well and reunited after your time as the head coach at St. John's. But returning to Champaign, I know Bill's been asked about it. For you and for Bill, what does this mean? How's it going to feel when you guys arrive in Champaign?
You know, I don't know because, you know, Coach came back. He came back for the reunion. I wasn't able to get back. I was doing something at St. John's. I had an event that I had to go to at St. John's at the time, so I wasn't able to get back.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have not been back since 03.
Wow.
So it's been 20 years for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be different. I know the place has changed so much and grown so much and everything. So it'll be fun to see how the place has grown and changed.
As you think about your time at Illinois, I want to dive into this. I think a cool dynamic is just hearing the stories, because obviously that was part of a real, you know, golden window for Illinois basketball, is that early to mid 2000s, which you guys, your 3 years here, and then setting up Bruce Weber and company to lead into 2004-05, and you guys being a part of putting that team together. But just kind of big picture, is there anything as you think back on your time at Illinois that sticks out that you think most upon or most proud of?
Well, I think that the thing that was so cool about us coming to Illinois, you know, we came from Tulsa and we had some great success and went to the Elite Eight. And then we came to Illinois, and it was just a totally different brand of basketball, because they were, you know, Lon Kruger left us so many good players, you know, with the Robert Archibalds and the Brian Cooks and Frank Williamses and Serge and Demir Kropalja and Lucas Johnson, you know, Corey Bradford, you know, so many good guys, Harrington, you know, so, and they were kind of a veteran team a little bit and had gone through the war. So we had to come in and you know, change a little bit of how we played, but we had to take, we were really, really fast at Tulsa and small, playing small ball for the most part, and then had to come to having, you know, six guys bigger than 6'9".
Right.
And so we had to play more of a power game, and those kids really adapted to it and did a great job, and obviously Coach did a great job with them. But they were such a close-knit group and really, really good guys that competed that made it a lot of fun.
Norm, I know Illini fans, it's easy, of course, to point to the teams that went to the Final Four. You got the 89 Flying Illini. You got the 04-05 team with D, Darren, Luther, guys that I want to hit on in terms of recruiting you guys bring into Champaign. But that 2001 team, a lot of, you know, fans that obviously experienced that in their heyday will point to that team too and say, man, that team was really, really darn good in their own right. And, of course, lost a tough one to Arizona, a team you guys split with in the regular season. They end up going to the championship game and losing to Duke, who you guys only fell to by 1 point earlier in that year, Jay Williams. And what a battle. I wish I was old enough to remember, you know, Frank Williams versus Jay Williams. But I guess what I'm getting to, how good was that 2001 team? I mean, you've been around a lot of good ones. You've won some national titles. What do you, as you stack that one up, how good was that team that you coached?
Really, really good. And strong, physical, back when you could really play physical basketball. We had such an inside presence. We had Corey who could really shoot it. Cookie could shoot it. Frank just made play after play. I remember we played Seton Hall that year, and they had a great team too, I believe. And Frank won the game on making like a left-handed floater from like 10 feet. Double overtime. It was an unbelievable team that played so tough. We always felt that had we not played Arizona, we probably definitely would have been in the Final Four.
Yep.
Because we knew each other so good because we played each other in Maui, and then we played them, I think, in Chicago. And so we knew each other so well, and, you know, Arizona had such a great team, and that's the, but that team definitely could have won a national championship. That team definitely could have made it to the Final Four. We just came up a little short, didn't shoot it well in key moments in that game. But every game was a war. And in that, at that time, the Big Ten was an absolute killer. It was a war. Every single game was a battle, and I'm sure it's like that now too. And so a really, really, really good team.
I want to ask you, to be around Frank Williams on a daily basis, he wins Big Ten Player of the Year that season, ends up getting drafted by the Knicks the following year. What was it like being around Frank, and how much of a talent was he?
Frank was so talented, but he did it in a way that he had really flashy moments, but then there were other moments that you're like, oh, he's good. But then at the end of the game, you would say, God, he's got 17 points and 7 assists and 5 steals. Gosh darn.
Right.
He played good. And Frank was, the key to Frank Williams was in the last 5 minutes of the game, put the ball in his hands and let him go make a play.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach loved that about Frank. He never shied away from the big moment. Never. And it didn't mean that he was going to score. He can make the pass and let it score. He could defend. He could do so many different things and everything. Frank was he's a winner, but he's one of the toughest competitors I've ever coached in the last 5 to 7 minutes of a game when it's on the line.
Norm Roberts is our guest on the Tapman's Towing phone line. That following season, 2001-02, you had a pretty darn good team. You fall to Kansas in the Sweet 16. You add Luther Head and Roger Powell, who end up being big pillars for Illinois in the future. What do you remember about bringing those guys into that group that group that you had in 01-02, and then obviously those guys meant a lot in 04-05?
you know, Roger was hurt at first before we even got to see him play.
Mm-hmm.
And Roger turned out to be such a good player. And that, you know, his dad was a great shooter at Illinois State. And Roger was just a solid, rock-solid guy that had to find his way. And you know, he played the threesome out on the perimeter for us. But kind of when he went to that hybrid four, he became really, really dangerous because he always had to rebound the ball and he could score the ball, shoot it good and everything. And Luther was a freak athlete. I remember he had a dunk with one hand against San Diego State in either the first or the second round of the tournament. That was one of the most impressive dunks I've ever seen because he caught it so high and controlled the ball with just one hand over a 6'10 kid. And, you know, and Luther was another guy. He'd make that face when he'd get mad and he would come downhill at you the whole time. And, you know, give Luther credit. I mean, he wasn't a great shooter coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden he made himself a terrific three-point shooter and always could defend and always was athletic and obviously had a good career in the NBA and that stuff. Luther was a great, great kid to be around. Great.
You end up recruiting D. Brown, a McDonald's All-American, and as you know, it's been at different spots. You might inherit some talent like you guys did when you first showed up. You get Frank, you get Brian Cook. But then to go out and get that big pillar, that guy that can extend it on into the future, and Bill and your crew was able to do that with D. What do you remember about that recruitment and one that obviously he became and still is one of the most beloved Illini ever?
D will go down as the Pipe Piper. Everybody wanted to play with D. And I remember going to Nike camp to watch D play. And he had already committed to us, to come to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at the camp, and he's telling every big guy, every wing, hey, you better come play with me at Illinois. If you want to be good, you better come play with me. And it is unbelievable. He's an unbelievable competitor. He's another guy that, you know, when the game's on the line, he didn't shy away from the big moments. He was so fast. He told me, James Augustine, okay, we're recruiting. And I said to D, hey, D, and I won't say the other kid's name because he went to another school in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, D, would you take that kid or James Augustine? And he said, Coach, by far, I'd take James Augustine. James Augustine is so much better than that kid. And I said, well, you played a long time with that other kid. So he goes, I'm telling you, Coach, James Augustine is the guy. And we went and we took James.
Yeah.
And we got James, and James had a great career. James is a funny story about James. James came to our camp, our regular camp, and James was about to, he'd admit this, he was about to commit to Purdue.
Really?
And James goes, and I call James, and I say to him, hey, James, you think you want to come to our camp? And I'm thinking he's going to say, heck no, I'm a good player. I'm not coming to your camp. Like that. And he goes, hey, wait a second, Coach. Let me ask my mom. And he asks his mom. I hear him yelling to his mom, Mom, Illinois wants us to come down to camp, wants me to come to camp. You think I can go to camp? And his mom goes, yeah, if you want to go, yeah, do it. So he comes to our camp, regular camp. So I'm like, okay, he's coming to camp, Coach. We'll get the stand. And Coach hurt his knee, so he couldn't go walk around camp at that time.
Mm.
Well, I go to see James at registration, and I swear this is true. I go to see James at registration, and I can't find him. He's 6'9", 6'10", and I can't find him. I'm like, where is he? So I'm asking people, hey, have you seen James Augustine? They said, he's over there in that crowd. And when I went over to the crowd, I couldn't see him. James was sitting down in like a legs crossed, sitting. And you remember the game, Jack, where you bounce the ball?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's sitting there playing Jack. And I'm like, what is that? I'm like, we're trying to get this guy, and he's down there playing Jack. And then he started playing with the other kids in camp, and you saw like, hey, whoa, wait a second. This guy can run. He can jump.
Mm-hmm.
Decent. He's got an unbelievable motor. And then I started seeing it. I started seeing it, and James was correct. But that was all led by D. It was all led by D. And then I go to James's first game, and I get there, and his mom and dad. You know, dad was a football coach. Mom was, I think, a swim coach or helped with swimming. Sister was a swimmer. So I sit there, and they were the most mild-mannered, sweet people. And the first tip-off, they go down the court, boom, James picks up a foul. And his mom yells out, "Are you kidding me?" Like, screaming it. And I'm like, what is going on? Then he goes off and shoots a bad shot or something. And the dad starts yelling. And I'm like, these people are crazy. There were 2 minutes into the game. And then when he had to sit on the bench, the mom and they're like, that's your own fault. They're yelling at him. And I'm going, hey, this is our type of guy, coach, and our type of family. I love these people. So they were awesome.
Great stuff there. Norm Roberts, Tapman's Towing phone line. Darren, obviously another huge piece. I know we talked a little bit before this interview talking about Billy Gillespie, identifying him and recruiting him. But I think to go back to what you're saying about D, it probably says something about him, and this has been talked about through the years of him being a point guard, thought of as a point guard, and saying, hey, I'm okay with going and getting another one of those. How big was Darren, and what do you remember about piecing that together?
That was huge. D. Brown recruited Darren. He helped recruit Darren. He did, and made Darren feel comfortable in coming and everything. Darren, Billy Gillespie knew of Darren, but Billy Gillespie was not on the road at that time. Mm. So what happened was I would go out and see Darren and go see him. And every time I came back, I kept saying, hey, he's Jason Kidd with a jump shot.
Ooh.
He's Jason Kidd with a jump shot. Strong, physical, all I say, Jason Kidd with a jump shot. And if you remember Darren, when he first came his first year, he couldn't throw the ball in the ocean. Mm-hmm. He was a bad shooter. And we couldn't believe it because he was such a good shooter in high school. And he didn't shoot it well, but if you remember, he became a great defender. He was like our best defensive guy. We would put him on the other team's best player. And Darren was so physically strong in that stuff, he could guard anybody. He could guard anybody. But Darren always had a toughness. You know, he wrestled in high school and stuff like that. He always had a toughness and a physicalness about him. The best thing about Darren is he had a chip on his shoulder. He had a chip on his shoulder because he didn't get some of the accolades some of the other guys got. I'm trying to remember the kid's name that went to India, Bracy Wright.
Yep.
Bracy Wright and him were in the same high school. And Bracy got all these accolades, and Darren got some, but he didn't get as much. And it kept a chip on his shoulder. And I'm telling you, he was tough. That was incredible backcourt when we had those two together. I mean, they shared the ball. They could both score. Darren was physical. D was fast. Then you had Luther, who was athletic. I mean, it was a ridiculous three guys.
Norm, that obviously sets the stage of having guys you feel really, really good about. You won two, both in your first two seasons, won the Big Ten regular season championship, Elite Eight in the first year, Sweet 16 the next year. Bill gets the opportunity to go to Kansas. What do you remember about, I mean, he said it, that it was an emotional deal. It sounds like it was a tough decision for him. That time, as he's making the decision and then shortly after, what do you remember about that and what, you know, the tough part of that he went through and just what the emotions were like back then?
You know, a lot of people, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was said and everything. I'm telling you, it's probably the most emotional thing I've ever seen a person go through from a coaching standpoint and that stuff ever in my life. In that, it was an all-day deal. It was going back and forth. I remember we were at Coach's house, and literally, we were all down in the basement or downstairs or something, but literally, he would come out of a room after talking to whoever, and he'd say, "We're staying. Illinois, staying." Then somebody else would call, and he'd go back in the room and talk, blah, 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 come back out, "We're going."
Yep.
"We're going." And it was back forth, and I'm telling this for about 5-6 hours. It is going back forth, emotional, really, really emotional. And when you think about it, I mean, God, we we had that team. We had Charlie Villanueva coming.
Yep.
We were going to be ridiculous how good we were going to be. And it just kept going back and forth. And then Coach decided that we were going to go, that he was going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so emotional. And he said, nope, I'm going to try to call every single kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call every single parent. I'm going to call them. And I didn't listen to all of them, but I listened when he called Dee's mom and everything, and he said to her, I'm going to go to Kansas. And then he said to her, I'm giving you this time to let me have it. Say what you want. Say whatever you want. I'm here to take it. I'm here to listen. You do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And he had to do that 15 times.
Man.
And that stuff. So it was hard, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff. And so it was a hard decision to make. But we knew that Illinois, and Coach knew that Illinois was a fabulous job, great people there. We were going to be so good, all those things, you know, but decisions are decisions.
For sure. And obviously the track record and the results speak for themselves. Not to say that, you know, staying in Illinois, as you kind of alluded to, would have been a great option in its own right, but what he's done at Kansas has been phenomenal. So you can't really argue with that one. And I think that through time, Illinois fans have obviously been able to see that. And also, I think they feel pretty good about Brad Underwood being in that seat now. So kind of transitioning to that, it seems like Brad's friendship has helped make Bill feel comfortable about coming back. And how do you think that maybe has changed through the years to where there was maybe a little bit of animosity from Illinois fans? But obviously the way I see it, and I'm speaking for myself here, but I think a lot of people will too, is just to appreciate your guys as part of that. And there's no other way to really look at it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, you know, Coach Underwood and Coach are really close. I mean, you know, Coach showed Underwood, he's told me that many a times when he came to visit Oklahoma State. I think Bill was the coach and everything. So they've known each other for many, many years, and they really, really respect each other and what each other's been able to do. And Coach Underwood's done such a good job there with his staff and everything. So I think that has been that way. It's made it better over time. You know, we the year that we won the national championship, you know, we played in Chicago. You know, James Augustine came by to see us. We hadn't seen James in a while. He came by. Aaron Spirit came by to see us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we stay in touch with Frank. You know, Wayne Coach stays in touch with us. Corey Bradford stays in touch with me, my family, Coach, and everything. Lucas Johnson, obviously, you know, he's not with us anymore. But, you know, Robert Archibald had been back to see us many a times and actually spent time out here. Mm-hmm. At Kansas with us and everything, and Sean Harrington being out there. So there's so many ties and pulls that came from Illinois that still to this day we stay in close contact with.
For sure.
You know, Sergio, all that stuff. You know, we're always going to be family, no matter what. We're family if we're at Illinois. We're family if we're at Kansas. We're always family because there's always that connection, that bond.
Absolutely. Norm, I could keep you all day. I don't want to. I want to ask you a couple of more. You mentioned and you recruited Charlie Villanueva, and that goes down a path for Illini fans to think about what could have been. Of course, I'm imagining as somebody that recruits and pieces teams together, you've taken that step through your mind probably as well. What do you think that future could have looked like with Charlie in the mix, and then what you guys could have done in terms of bringing more talent to Illinois?
Oh, it would have been ridiculous. It would have been ridiculous. Charlie would have been that piece to play with James, to play with, you know, Roger, and those. It would have been unbelievable the way he could stretch the floor and that stuff. We would have had obviously a great chance to win it all and everything if everything fell right. You know, I will tell you this funny on Charlie's visit. Charlie came to visit. When he came, we go to the football game. And you remember the restaurant, Old Charlie's?
Yes.
Steak place, something like that. Well, I guess they're flying their banner across over top of the stadium, you know, around the stadium. There's somebody's got a plane and it's going around Old Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And Bobby looks up in the sky and sees it. And he taps me and he goes, "Coach, man, you guys really want all out. All out." What? Look at that. And I was like, "Yeah, Charlie, that's all for you." He had no idea about the restaurant. It was great. But it would have been terrific getting him. And obviously it would have helped us even more to get more talent down there.
Yep. I do want to ask you, I mean, you've been around Bill a long time, and he's known as one of the best recruiting head coaches, you know, in my lifetime within the last number of decades. And I just know, you know, from what I remember about him at Illinois, just his charisma for the fans is something that they ate up. I imagine recruiting was something that was huge. What's made him such a good recruiter, a guy that guys want to play for? And it obviously has continued on through a number of decades and now is still going.
Well, I think what's made him great is that he does what he says he's going to do. He's upfront and honest with the kids, where you are, where it stands. But one of the key things about being here at Kansas or wherever coaches coach, he believes this wholeheartedly, that he never wants a player to ever leave here after playing for him or our staff and say that we did not give our all, to make them as good as they possibly can be on and off the court. Mm-hmm. Does not matter. We want them to be the best provider, father they can be later on in life. We want them to be the best player they can be in life, be the best student they can be in life. And Coach harps on that with his guy. And I do believe that helps us in recruiting, but just the track record of him doing that has been very, very good. And the other thing is he can go into any situation, scenario, and make everybody in the room feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. Does not matter where he is. It could be a foreign kid. It could be a kid from Chicago. It could be a kid from the Midwest, to Iowa. It does not matter. He will go in there and make everybody feel comfortable in our conversations and what we're trying to do.
Norm Roberts, assistant at Kansas, former Illini, of course. Last one for you, I promise. On Sunday, what can Illini fans expect out of your squad in terms of, you know, you're the number one team in the country, obviously, AP top 25. What should Illini fans, I know they're familiar with Hunter Dickinson and look forward to seeing him again, but what do you got working with this team and what can Illini fans expect?
Well, I think we're still in the early stages like everybody. Yep. Nobody's ready to play a game right at this point in time. But it is good to play against somebody else to get a feel and get a look for who you are. I think we're going to be a team that wants to play fast. It's going to be a team that, you know, we're going to play inside out without a doubt with a terrific player like Hunter. You know, we have DeJuan Harris, who's a terrific point guard, a set-up point guard, an old-school point guard that plays on both ends of the floor. We've got Kevin McCullers, who is about as versatile of a forward as there is, the guard as there is in the country. And we're looking for him to be more aggressive offensively. KJ Adams is a kid about 6'7", who was the most improved player in our league last year, an explosive athlete. And then we brought in some new pieces of young guys that, you know, that are going to be really good in time and can do some good things. So I think we're going to be a team that's going to be very good. You know, like I know you've been in the business a long time. Preseason polls don't mean anything. We don't care about that. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have number one next to your name, but we know it's a long journey. It's a long journey. And Illinois' team that plays on Sunday against us will not be the same team you'll see in March.
Right.
And the Kansas team you'll watch on Sunday will definitely not be the same team you'll see in March. There's a process that everybody's got to go through of growth and those things. So I think it'll be really, really competitive. It'll be a lot of fun. Obviously, it's for a great cause, but it's also going to help both of our teams learn kind of who we are at this point and what we need to do to get better.
Norm Roberts, this was awesome. Thank you so much for being so gracious with your time. Thank you for the stories. Those were phenomenal. And I wish you guys luck going forward. Enjoy your time back in Champaign. I'll say this. You guys deserve a great embrace, and I hope it's it's satisfying for you guys to step back in that building, and can't wait for the action on Sunday.
Love the Orange Crush. Love them. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow. One thing that probably, you could explain about me and my career in the media is that I'm always taking funny jabs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm always doing that. And it's normally out of respect. I've always said, if I'm taking jabs at you, Kyle, that means I really like you. Yes. And I think that you do a great job. I can't even go to a jab on that. That is, if not the one of the best interviews I've ever heard. And Norm Roberts has a lot to do with that,
of course,
obviously.
Yeah.
But the way you story told that and led him through his career here, the players, it shows you how much interest. Number one, I was like I'm just sitting there hanging on every answer that Norm Roberts had, which shows you as an Illini fan how much interest we still have in that. But to take us behind the closed doors of what was happening the day that Bill Self was making the decision on whether or not to go to Kansas and leave. And
I want to talk more about that before the show's done.
Yes. The funny story with Charlie Villanueva and all those guys. I mean, yeah, that old Charlie's freaking. I looked at you and I'm like, it's the only time I think I talked during the whole. Well, I was talking during the interview because he'd say something. I'm like, you know, Luther made himself into a good shooter. And you're like, hold on. And he's like, you know, Luther made himself. And I'm like, he did, man. I was like right there. Like he was the preacher, Norm Roberts. And I was in the my pew going, speak.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that well done.
Thank
you. Mean, that is an incredible interview that I think we should play sometime soon again. I mean, I would hate it if anybody missed that.
Yeah.
And I know some people have missed that, but obviously we'll podcast that. We need to put that on separate, Kyle, because that thing alone is wonderful. So congratulations on that. I know our buddy Matt Lang, who joins us sometimes, he texted me and he's like, Piper is amazing in this interview. Then he said, holy snot.
Yeah.
No, he didn't.
Norm was the goods, man. He brought the stories. I just guided him through it. That was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
I've
been in the industry, you know, media for about a decade, and that was as captivating. I sat back there and just smiled at some of the answers and laughed, and just it was great. I was enjoying the ride as much as anybody out there listening. So that was a lot of fun to do. Speaking of which, I think we're going to have fun talking to Chester Frazier, Illini assistant.
Go.
Coming up next, stick with us. This is The Drive.